It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about the global impact of air conditioning as the world heats up.
First, police shot and killed a man on Saturday afternoon in Milwaukee. In the hours afterward on Saturday night, an interaction between police and a crowd turned violent.
Fires were set at a gas station and other local businesses. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett held a midnight press conference urging calm and announced an increased police presence in the coming days.
On Sunday night, there was renewed unrest in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood, and Governor Walker activated the National Guard to assist Milwaukee police.
The events of the weekend have renewed questions about police relations and racial disparities in Milwaukee.
John Diedrich has been covering that developing story for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins us now. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, John, can you start by telling us about Saturday afternoon's fatal shooting? What happened?
So this information comes from the police department and from the mayor's office. Some of the information from this shooting, body cam video, autopsy reports, and so forth have yet to be released. But the account that police give is that two police officers were on patrol. They sought to make a traffic stop of a car. There are two individuals in that car. One of them was Seville Smith, who ultimately was fatally shot. They say that he ran out of the car, jumped out of the car. He had a weapon in his hand, a semi-automatic weapon that turned out to be loaded with 23 rounds and also happened to be stolen. And exactly how it was that he was shot is still, details are still coming out, but that he essentially was reaching for the gun, grabbing for the gun. It's unclear whether he was actually pointing the gun, but the police officer shot Smith twice, once in the chest, fatally, and he was also hit in the arm. And this is all in the area near Sherman Park, which has been the area of some problems all summer.
And what do we know so far about the man, Seville Smith, who was shot?
Well, he does not have a felony conviction on his record, though he does have a number of arrests. He was arrested 9 times in the last 4 years. He was charged 3 times, but 2 of those were dismissed. The most serious charge against him, he was convicted of a misdemeanor of carrying a concealed weapon. The most serious charge, though, was he was charged with shooting a man, and then secondarily charged with trying to intimidate that individual from testifying. Ultimately, that man recanted his story, and those charges were dropped. And there's also some drug charges that were ultimately did not lead to, they were drug arrests that did not lead to criminal charges, and there's a robbery charge, a robbery case at which did not proceed into court as well.
And what about the police officer involved? Any facts known about him?
Well, we don't know his name. His name's not being released, which is a little bit unusual. This police department has generally released the name of an officer. In this case, though, they say they're not because of concerns about his safety. Here's what we do know. He's been on the force for 6 years. He's only 24. The reason for the age issue there is that he joined the department when he was 18 through the police aid program. He's African American. That had been one of the sources of information circulating on Facebook, is that this was possibly a white officer. And again, the police chief and the mayor have downplayed that, said it wouldn't matter if it had been a white officer, that this was a justified shooting. But that he's 24 years old, and he's been on the force for 6 years, but been a police officer really only a couple years, because the police aid program goes for about 3 or 4 years.
We're talking with John Diedrich right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's bringing us up to date on the latest in the police shooting in Milwaukee this weekend and on its aftermath. And John, let's get to what happened after that shooting later on towards the evening. What happened?
Well, later Saturday night, after 8 o'clock or so, in that general area of where the shooting happened, there's also been unrest in there, circulating around a gas station that's right next to Sherman Park and also in Sherman Park. In that gas station, a couple months ago, there was an incident in which a clerk was having trouble, he said, clearing the audience or the crowd's customers from the store. And he came outside with a gun and fired it in the air. He ultimately was charged in that case, but it really symbolized what it sounds like has been strained relations between young people in the area and that business. In addition to that, in that park, there were some problems around the 4th of July. Anyway, Saturday night, crowds were forming near the park. Police came out and we're moving the crowds that were in the street away, and then some violence broke out at that point. There was cars that were smashed and lit on fire, including squad cars. The business itself, the gas station, was started on fire, and then about four blocks away, actually right across the street from District 7 Police Department, three businesses there were damaged, two of them burned, a beauty supply store, a car auto supply store, and then the bank actually right next door to the police station, BMO Bank. Those windows were broken, and then there was two liquor stores that were burned as well in the nearby area.
And what information is known so far about who was involved in some of the things you described on Saturday and on into Sunday night?
Well, there's still, and you're exactly correct, there was more trouble last night. The investigation into the arson, there was looting, at least at a cell phone store. There were also guns fired up into the air, gunshots fired at the police district station, at squad cars and so forth. The investigation continues into that. There were arrests that were made, but as we're being told right now, we're not hearing about anybody charged precisely with inciting that unrest and rioting that happened. Or how close they are in terms of making those kinds of cases. But the police department has said they are closely investigating video from the area and other evidence that would point to who had a hand in this destruction.
And I know one of the big questions you've said you're working on, John, is why did this happen now? Why the strong reaction? And how are you answering that question so far?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the history of Milwaukee, you alluded to this at the beginning about strained racial relations. We're one of the most segregated cities in the country, and there's been a series of high-profile in-custody deaths that have happened in Milwaukee. And some of those have circumstances that, at least from what we know so far, appear to be more aggravated. Individuals who are not armed, for instance, or in the case of Frank Jude, who was, unarmed and was beaten severely by off-duty officers, Derek Williams, who died in the back of a squad car gasping for air. There are other circumstances, but it would appear as though, I think at this point, the best we're hearing is that this was a flashpoint type of case where the circumstances and what came out later were not what was spreading around Facebook. And even had all the facts been known, it might have made a difference. There was such a sort of boiling over effect, especially given what had happened at the park and the gas station earlier in the summer, that it all sort of was a perfect storm, if you will, for problems to really erupt.
And the community of Sherman Park, how has it responded to what's happened so far?
Well, Sunday morning, there was a real outpouring of people, not just from Sherman Park, but from across the city coming in support. I mean, there was your onlookers and sort of gawkers that came through to look at these burned-out businesses. And it's not clear whether anything's going to be rebuilt, which is, the unfortunate reality of this kind of destruction. But people came out and forced churches, other groups to support the community, to pick up trash. That was a big thing that was happening all day on Sunday. And that, was displaced later by more of these confrontations between mostly young people, I think, is what is what we're understanding. I don't think a lot of sort of older middle-aged people are in the midst of this, but that there was this sort of, for most of Sunday, this very much of a community outpouring that was happening to help clean up the area, and, you know, and also talk about you know, opportunity that is needed for young people. That's a theme that's underneath this. Black unemployment's very high. Black incarceration's high. There's a lot of, you know, social economic factors that are coming to bear in these neighborhoods that are certainly aggravating the situation.
And just briefly, as far as the investigation into the shooting itself, what's next?
So the Department of Justice is doing this investigation. That's under a law that passed. A colleague of mine wrote an investigation, and that investigation resulted in an outside agency, in this case the Department of Justice, doing in custody death or police shooting investigation. So that is ongoing right now. What the mayor and the police chief have asked for in this case is that the Department of Justice quickly release the body cam video and also the autopsy report to indicate that the individual, Mr. Smith, was not shot in the back, as has circulated on social media, or also to show what the officer's actions were. So we may see some of the evidence even before the determination is made as to whether it was a justified shooting. But the Department of Justice, State Department of Justice, will do the investigation. And in the meantime, as always the practice, the officer is on paid leave right now.
John, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was John Diedrich, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joined us with the latest on this weekend's police shooting in Milwaukee and the community response.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our coverage of the latest events in Milwaukee, where an officer shot and killed a man after a foot chase on Saturday afternoon.
Violence broke out on Saturday night after a standoff between police and an angry group of people. Some community members came out, as we just heard, to clean up and urge peace on Sunday, but last night did see renewed unrest. The shooting reignited the urgency behind questions about racial divisions in Milwaukee.
Wisconsin State Senator Lena Taylor spoke at the site of a burned BP station on Sunday, urging those listening to demand change and to vote. Senator Taylor is a Democrat from Milwaukee and represents Wisconsin's 4th District. Senator Taylor, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
What was your first thought when you heard about first this shooting and then the events that followed on Saturday night?
Of course, your heart drops each and every time. It's a life, it's a family that has gone through some level of trauma, and every time, candidly, that we hear of an incident in our community, we're all traumatized to some level. And then, of course, to see the community being destroyed in front of your eyes is overwhelming. As a business owner, you think of the challenges for those business owners and for the individuals who worked there. You think of all of the property damage. But the human capital and the, you know, the harm, the injury, you know, the hurt that it inflicts, and then it makes you, you know, at least it makes me, go beyond just the surface of look at what you did. And maybe it's the mother, you know, in me that always takes you beyond just the surface of what you did, but why you did it and how to make it where that's not what we're going to have that's reoccurring. And those are the things that went through my mind when it first happened. And then to go and try to be the example of moving forward in a way to get the change that individuals want to see, to help show and navigate how to do that in a productive way, right? That is not as harmful.
And you were there, as you say, you were urging people listening to you on Sunday. You were at that BP station that was burned. You asked...
Actually, I was right next door. I was right next door on the block, the same block, but not at the station itself. But yes, ma'am, very near it.
And on that site, you were speaking to the people who were there, community members, others who had come, and you were urging them to let their voices be heard, to vote. But not everyone there, it sounds like, was on board. According to the Journal Sentinel, it sounds like some people, maybe in the minority, a few voices, though, not sure that they'd get a fair shake or that anything would change. So what would you say to people who are feeling disenchanted about the prospect of change and about the effectiveness of politicians.
Well, that's exactly what I said when I was on CNN, that you have to understand the level of trauma that exists in this community. Individuals not feeling hopeful and feeling hopeless, not feeling as if they're heard, and not feeling that the change that is needed and that they want to see in their community is happening, and not having civics to even know exactly, like, who do we navigate through to get X, Y, or Z done, depending on what those things are. You know, there are many things that touch these families and the individuals in the community. And so what you do is you come down and you mimic and you show. So what I did was show them how you make your voice heard about what you disagree with, but how you do that in a way that allows you to express your constitutional right to do that, but how you also think about cleaning up your community. So, you know, we came with bags and gloves and garbage bags and encouraged people to go out and be the change, right? Help clean up the community. But we've also got to help clean up the hurt and the damage and the harm that's been done because of all of the trauma that has existed in this community. So it's not just the property damage that we have to address. We have to address the human damage, the human damage, the heart.
And in some ways, that's the harder part to heal, the heart you talk about.
Amen.
The hurt and the damage.
Amen.
And the harm. So how do you start to do that? Because it's not a quick fix. It's a journey.
You know, it is. And you start by doing small activities. I mean, I think Greater New Birth Church coming out and doing work with the for the police officers and showing support of law enforcement, I think that helps with some healing in community police relationships. I think that that's important. I think the people who came out and picked up garbage in the area, that was helpful. I think the people who wrote notes to say comments to the business owners to thank them for their work, that meant something. But we've also got to give an opportunity to the young people who feel hopeless. We have to give them an opportunity, and to the other individuals in the community, because let's be clear, it's not the young people of this behavior that we're talking about. These were some grown people. Now, they might have been younger adults than some of us, but they weren't like little kids or teenagers, you know, that were making these choices. So those individuals are the individuals who need an opportunity to be able to learn. Even one of the things I realized that we need to do is teach them civics so the individuals know, well, how do you rally and how do you protest? Do it in a way to get results. And so with that in mind, you know, it's not going to be easy. This is going to be a journey. You know, we didn't get here overnight. This has been 30 more years of individuals who were teen mothers who did not know, individuals who did not graduate from high school, individuals who did not have the literacy levels that they needed. And so we had adults who were not literate. You know, all of this creates where we are. And now we want people who have been broken, harmed by poverty and the constant issues that have existed in the community. We want them to think as the healthiest people we know. And that's just not what we've learned from trauma-informed care.
We're talking with Wisconsin State Senator Lena Taylor. She's with us to talk about the police shooting in Milwaukee this weekend and about the community reaction. And Senator Taylor, what do you think that the shooting and its aftermath reveals to you about the challenges that Milwaukee still has ahead of it, and maybe about the urgency now of some of these issues facing Milwaukee in terms of opportunity and education and closing the gap on some of these things?
Well, as a girl who lives on the same block that I grew up on, they're not new to me. It's what you could look on any Wisconsin Eye video. Any time that I've spoken to speak about the issues that exist and what the needs are in the community, but I hope what it's done is it's awakened us to what our institutions have created, what the policies and the institutional challenges and disparities have created, and that if we're going to see different, then we need to see what's good, what's bad, our good, our ugly. We need to begin to address it and fix it. It's going to require investment in the areas where individuals need to work past their trauma. It's going to have to require connecting people to industries and opportunities, and I think we can use community connectors to do it. So it's taught me that the work is going to be hard, as we already know it is, but that people, more people are awake, I think, because of what they're seeing. It's kind of the same thing in some ways that happened previously, you know, when people could see what people were going through because it was on a TV screen. You know, I think the truth of the matter is not that you can see that there are individuals that we've helped to develop in a way where they're not as compassionate, where they're willing to do and go to the extremes that they have, that we've got to be willing to say, why is that? And try to get to the root of that. And so it says to me not only sense of urgency, but that I feel like there are new partners all around the nation and including in our state that are ready to roll up their sleeves. And if not, then shame on all of us for not making it that way. And so I'm just going to continue to do the work that I've been doing. And I believe in that article that the JAMA did, Journal of American Medical Association. They said that exercise and gardening reduce. I want to use agriculture as a way to help create hubs for healing in our community. It may sound a little corny or quirky to some people, but it's already proven to be successful and work. And I believe that we have to start one neighborhood, one block, one person at a time. And if everybody says, I want to be found doing something to make a difference, to implement some love and faith, some hope in its communities, and to be a part, get where we want to be. It takes all of us.
Senator Taylor, just a couple seconds left. We saw unrest Saturday night and Sunday night. Is it over?
You know, I will tell you, it's been difficult to talk some young people and older people back into sensibility. But that's also part of what we've been doing on the ground, is talking to individuals and saying there's another way. So I hope that it is, but I woke up this morning, it was not. And so I will continue to be out here doing my part.
Thank you.
To encourage people to think different.
Thank you so much for joining us. That was Senator Lena Taylor. She's a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee, representing Wisconsin's 4th District.
Coming up after the news, a look at the global environmental and energy impact of air conditioning. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. This is Central Time.